Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we pray, help us to hear your words to us this morning. And help us to be wise in the way we respond to them. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're looking this morning at the greatest sermon ever preached. That's not this sermon, my sermon, I hasten to add, but Jesus's sermon, his Sermon on the Mount. And we've been working through it all summer in our morning and evening services. And this morning we come to the final part, the ending. And so surely we're in for a treat. Because if this is the greatest sermon ever preached, and I do think that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount can fairly claim to be the most significant, the most influential, the most famous, the most enduring, the most challenging sermon of all time. If this is the greatest sermon ever preached, then surely we can expect a stirring conclusion. Heart-warming, uplifting, inspirational. That's how we like our sermons to end. And things are looking good because Jesus finishes his sermon with a memorable parable, the wise and the foolish builders, a favorite for children's Bible stories and a classic children's song. And we sang it earlier with all the actions and smiles on our faces. The rains came down and the floods came up. There was a bit of disagreement actually about some of the actions, but I think we all sorted out in the end. But a great song. But unfortunately, when we reflect on Jesus' words as he finishes his great sermon, we realize that they are not as heartwarming and uplifting as we'd like. In fact, they are really very sobering. Jesus presents us with a series of choices, and they are very stark choices. And he outlines the consequences of these choices, and they are of eternal significance. And of course, this shouldn't really surprise us, because Jesus is not a motivational speaker. The Sermon on the Mount is not a TED talk. Jesus has been consistently challenging right through this sermon, and we've seen that this summer. Very few of us will have been to all the sermons this summer on the Sermon on the Mount. I haven't. There is one person I know who has, and I'm going to embarrass him by letting you know that it's Bernard, sat at the back, been to every one. I think he's the only one. Someone else told me last week they'd been to all but one. Most of us will have been only to some of them. But whatever point you've come into this series, it will have been challenging. There's no fluffy section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus just tells some funny stories for a while. It began in chapter 5, the Beatitudes, if you look back. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the headline offer, membership of the kingdom of heaven. And the members have some surprising characteristics. They're poor in spirit. They're pure in heart. They're peacemakers. They're prepared to be persecuted. And in the rest of the sermon, we see more of what it looks like to be part of the kingdom, a follower of Jesus. We've seen that our righteousness needs to be deeper than the merely religious. It is to go right deep down to the heart, not just what we say on the outside, but right through to our hearts. Our love needs to be broader. It's to extend even to our enemies. Our worship and our prayer life is to be more authentic. It's about what we do in secret when no one is looking, not just when we're seen. Our focus is to be on eternity, treasure in heaven, not storing up or trusting in treasures on earth. And as Jesus sums up all of this teaching, the final verses this morning, he sets before us stark choices and eternal consequences. With a series of contrasting pairs, we've seen them as we read through them. There are two roads. There's the broad and the narrow. There are two trees, those that produce good fruit and bad fruit. There are two ways to build your life. You can build on rock or sand. And if you're anything like me, we find these stark choices difficult. If you present me with two extremes, then I will always look for the third way, the middle way. St. Nick's is an Anglican church, and looking for the middle way, neither of extremes, middle of the road, is something that Anglicans are perhaps especially well known for. In fact, it's part of our history. And of course, sometimes looking for the middle way is exactly the right thing to do. But not, it seems, as we consider Jesus' challenging teaching on what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. There is no middle way. Jesus doesn't allow us that option. There are two ways: stark choices, eternal consequences. It's decision time as you come to the end of the sermon. And I've got two brief points as we think about this call to a decision. Two points. Consider Christ. Choose life. Firstly, consider Christ. There's a view of the Sermon on the Mount, which is that it contains the essence of all Jesus' teaching presented here at its simplest and its best. The core of the message of the original Jesus of Nazareth, before all the theology and the doctrines of the rest of the New Testament got in the way and clogged it up. Here we have the essence of Jesus' simple, radical ethics. Do good. Love one another. So that people who do not call themselves Christians can nevertheless say, people say this, I follow the teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. It's wonderful teaching for every human being. And there is, of course, something in this point of view. It is wonderful teaching for every human being. But it's not enough to leave it there. When Jesus finished his sermon in the final verses that we read this morning, verses 28 and 29, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. As we come to the end of this sermon, we are to ask not just what is this amazing teaching, but even more so, who is this amazing teacher? Jesus is different. He is unique. The people of his day recognized that Jesus spoke very differently to their other teachers. Their other teachers taught derivatively. They explained and they drew upon the teaching of others, the Old Testament laws, the ancient writings. Their teaching, if you like, was second hand. It was said. But Jesus' teaching was first hand. It was always, I say to you, I say to you. He claimed first-hand knowledge of the ways of the kingdom and the purposes of God, unlike anyone else. In fact, he seemed to think that the will of God was expressed through his own words. We see that as we come towards the end of our passage this morning, verse 21. He says that the person who does the will of God is the one who's able to enter the kingdom. Verse 24, he then says that the person who builds upon the foundation of hearing these words of mine and putting them into practice is the one who's life will endure. His words and God's will seem to be the same. And the way that Jesus tells it, how we relate to him, whether we know him and he knows us, is of crucial importance. It's of eternal significance, much more importance than religious activity and good works. Verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Verse 23, then I will tell them, I never knew you. So as we come to the end of Jesus' sermon, I just make the very simple point that while the Sermon on the Mount does describe a way of life, it describes a way of life for those who choose to follow Jesus. And if you're a Christian, or if you're considering becoming a Christian, you're not following a way of life, a teaching, a religion, a philosophy. You're choosing to follow a person, Jesus Christ. And everything depends on how you relate to him. And it's surprisingly easy to forget this, perhaps especially those of us who've been Christians for a long time. Our Christianity is a way of life. The things we do and that we don't do, where we serve, the rotas that we're on, the way that we try to live. But Christ, consider Christ and his place at the end of this teaching. That's the first thing, consider Christ. Secondly, choose life. Verses 12 or 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. If you've been on holiday this summer, then I'm sure that like me, you will have on numerous occasions put a postcode into your sat-nav or your phone, and you will have been given a selection of different routes to your destination. And you get to choose according to your preferences, or the gamble that you wish to take, which will be the quickest route, where will there least likely be the jams. Do you wish to risk the motorway or the cross-country route? And of course, it's the holiday, so every road is totally crammed. They've all been given the same options on the sat-nav, and they're all equally full. But the good news is that all of the routes will get you to your destination eventually. And this, of course, is a popular way to think about the different religions in the world. We're all on different paths up the mountain, but we'll all get to God in our own way in the end. And there's lots of things that we could say about that. But the main thing to say is that Jesus never speaks this way. Not lots of ways, but two ways. And only one leads to life. And as we've already said, that this is not so much a way of life, but a way to life. It comes from following a person. The one who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I know how difficult this is to say and how against the spirit of the age it is. And you have to take Jesus very seriously indeed to be able to say it, especially today. But we're not just following a teaching, we're following the teacher. And that's why the Sermon on the Mount has to end on such a sober note, because there is a choice to be made, and it's a choice that really matters. And the choice is this. Am I going to take Jesus at his word and put his words into practice? That's how Jesus ends his sermon, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice One of the commentaries I read this week said this. Said, nothing could be more calamitous. Partly choose this quote because you don't get to say calamitous very often. Nothing could be more calamitous than to meditate long and hard on the Sermon on the Mount and to resolve to improve a little. To get to the end and to think, I must try harder. I must live better. The way that Jesus wants us to finish is to choose, to decide. And the decision is, am I going to take Jesus at his word and put his words into practice? That, according to Jesus, is the only safe way to build our lives. All of us are building. We're all building life. And there are lots of ways to build. But there is only one, says Jesus, solid, sure foundation upon which to build. Only one foundation to withstand the multiple storms of life and the ultimate storm of death and judgment. That's the picture, the metaphor of the storm that Jesus is using here. Not that we will build perfectly. It would be awful to get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount and to think that only if only we can live up to these incredibly high standards, then, if only we can do that, it will be okay. No, we'll keep failing and falling and needing forgiveness and starting again. It's not building the perfect life that matters. It's building on the right foundation, on the only foundation that will last. That's the decision that Jesus calls us to at the end of his sermon. And it's good for us to be confronted with it today. Most of us have been Christians for many, many years. Some of us here, perhaps you're not a Christian, you're interested, you're looking on, you're looking into the teaching of Jesus. For all of us, we have a new term ahead. The opportunity of a fresh start of the autumn after the long summer. And a decision. Am I going to take Jesus at his word and put his words into practice? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, help us very simply to hear your word, to consider and to choose to follow, to choose to obey, to choose life in all its fullness. And we pray this in your name. Amen.